I'm in Vancouver in the Sportsnet Pacific offices, Mr. Kerr.
Oh, is that a cubicle or an actual office?
I'm sitting in James Cebulski's cubicle as we speak, using his phone. He's not here, so I can get away with that.
Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. Although I think I'd rather hang around Caroline anyway, because I did, and she's a lot of fun.
She is a lot of fun. She loves her tennis, too, as you know.
Yes. Yeah, as do you. Okay.
Yes.
Indulge me on this one, and we'll get to the Grey Cup, I promise. The news yesterday that Jeannie Bouchard has left her coaching staff, we know she was moving agencies and everything. Do we worry about this at all? Is this an expected
move?
Yeah,
we do.
Okay.
Yeah, we do. We do. There's a lot going on there. There's the family influence. There's the new agency influence. And you don't want people to get ahead of themselves after a little bit of success, Rob. I mean,
yep.
Nick Saviano did a lot for Eugenie Bouchard. Eugenie Bouchard did a lot for Nick Saviano. But they worked. It worked. And, yeah, a lot changes, and she's not a teenager anymore, but you just begin to wonder here. You hope it's not too much too soon, and people get too caught up in things.
Let's be honest. She couldn't have had a much better first half right up until
She couldn't have had a better year.
Yeah.
No,
well,
she couldn't have had a better
half.
Year. Right.
Yeah.
And, how do you want to evaluate it?
Yeah.
And, yeah, sometimes you get tired of being around everybody every minute of every day, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what the next stage takes her and who it's going to be with.
I'm almost scared to ask you about the Stampeders now because now you have scared me. and I don't really want, because I think we'll visit later on in the week, so I don't want to bog maybe too much down on this game because there's some other things I'd like to ask you about around the league. But
sure.
Initial blush, your first thought, Hamilton, Calgary, what goes through your mind?
Well, the interesting thing to me here, Rob, is they've played twice before. Not that that really matters come November.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Zach Collaros did not play in either of those games, the franchise quarterback for the Ticats, and the franchise player for the Stampeders was not involved in those games either.
Yeah.
And on top of it, the reason the Ticats got to the Grey Cup, Brandon Banks, was really not in the mix at that point either. So, you know, when you look at kind of the straw that stirs the drink for both of these teams, they were non-factors in the previous games. Not that really when you evaluate either of those games, because it was so long ago, they factor into much here. There's a lot kind of that doesn't quite add up. And that's why I think this game is really intriguing, because we have no real basis of information to rely upon when you compare the two regular season games with what we're going to get on Sunday.
I don't think I'm talking out of school here that the Stampeders should be the favorite in this.
Oh, of course.
Okay. They win, let's say they win, they go down the path, they win the Grey Cup. Are we talking about a season for the ages? Are we talking about, at 15?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And it's been done kind of quietly. I mean, it was almost boring with the Stamps this year, wasn't
you're
it?
Right.
I can't remember a dominant team.
Yeah.
That it was just like, okay, well, they won again, and it was almost everybody was waiting for the shoe to drop on something,
right?
And there was opening day, the most outstanding player in the league goes down, and no one batted an eyelash, and they didn't skip a beat.
Yeah,
the loss in Montreal in the fall were there signs there that something could be wrong? Not really. And then came the West Final against the Eskimos, who came in with that vaunted defense and their ability to, I fell for that trap, hook, line, and sinker. Even with Mike Riley not at 100%, hey, that Eskimos defense, nope. they're on the verge here of doing something pretty special, and the amazing part is they're doing it with a first-year starting quarterback who just continues to amaze.
With Arash Madani from Sportsnet, our guest, and he's joining us down the Loop City Mobile One Sportsnet hotline. Let's leave the game, and we'll talk about it later in the week. What I really want to get from you is, you've been to enough of these Grey Cups. You know there is a kind of a heartbeat to them and the way they play themselves out. First of all, coaching changes, and they're right in the city that just made one. Dave Dickinson's going to come in. Eric Francis today writing that Jeff Garcia might be in the mix. How much is that empty position in BC going to dominate the storylines this week leading up to the Grey Cup?
I don't think it's going to that much. I mean, there are two candidates that are going to jump off the page, one from each team. Dickinson for sure, but Orlando Steinauer on the job that Ticats defensive coordinator has done. He's quickly become one of the lead guys that's being talked about. And you know, another reason for that is he and Mike O'Shea were assistants on the Argo staff, and you saw O'Shea get the Winnipeg job. I think it'd be a bigger story if there was a runaway candidate, or if there was kind of more juice to this. I think right now this game is there are so many questions about the actual game right now. Who and what is Zach Collaros going to be?
Right.
Two quarterbacks who've never been in a Grey Cup before. How are they going to react to the situation? You know, what did we learn from Hamilton last year that lost by 22 points in Regina? How do they respond? Yeah, there's, you know, I think that BC question is going to be looming a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wally Buono is going to go into hiding for a little bit because he's the guy everybody's going to want to talk to, and I think Wally's just going to let the game play out, especially out of respect for the Grey Cup being held in his own backyard.
What are we anticipating from Mark Cohan's State of the Union address? And it is his last. Is this going to be more notable, newsworthy than maybe some in the past?
I don't think it's going to be newsworthy because I can't see anything that he's going to reveal that we don't really know already. I think he's going to talk about his accomplishments, going from an eight-team league to nine. I think he's going to talk about the television money that's come in and the revenues that have gone up. And, you know, and he's probably going to address the challenges that lie ahead, the challenges namely in Toronto,
yep.
Not only with the Argonauts, but with a facility, with ownership there, with needing new revenue streams, with the opportunities of potentially going into Atlantic Canada. I think he's probably going to omit a number of things that are wrong, but that's, you know, that's his prerogative. Is the CFL stronger today than when Mark Cohan took over, Rob? No question. You know, he expanded the league from 8 to 9, but there are some big things that need to happen for this thing to continue to move forward. And his successor has a laundry list of things that he's got to accomplish that his predecessor did not.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. And I marveled when the Grey Cup was here in 2009. That they're all blurring together. Yeah. And I got to watch you work. And what was interesting to me about watching you work is you know where to position yourself, you know who to talk to, you're working the right rooms and things like that, but you were also aware of who was there. And are we going to see a bunch of possible candidates for that position, for lack of a better term, campaigning in BC? Will they be visible in this? Is that how this works?
I think this is a situation where there's going to be more. It's more to do with the governors kind of picking a few people. I don't see this being much of a campaigning kind of Grey Cup. I just don't.
Okay.
I think there are a few people under the radar that they have kind of targeted, and they may want to bring them along just to show them this is what it's all about. But they also want to keep it quiet. Now the question becomes, Rob, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a businessman? Are you looking for a football man? Are you looking for somebody who can grow the business in Southern Ontario? Are you looking for somebody who has more national contacts? Are you looking for somebody with more of a business than a sports background? I mean, there are a lot of kind of questions that the entire governors have to address.
Right.
And then it becomes, you know, if Pinball Clemens is around, is he just there because it's Grey Cup week, or is he there because he'd be interested in the commissioner's job?
He's the guy,
you know,
there
isn't was,
he?
Yeah, I know.
He's the guy, right? I mean, this is the non-outsider. This is just the observer, the guy that watches one team. But to me, the problem in this league, it's almost, and I think we've had this conversation, Arash, I'm to the point with this league right now that I can accept them hiring a commissioner for no other reason other than to solve Toronto. And then if that person moves on, they move on. And to me, that's Pinball. It's the only guy.
I just don't see how Pinball Clemens being commissioner will lead to BMO Field being used as a football facility.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? And here's the issue, Rob.
Yep.
The issue with this whole BMO thing is just what went on at Wembley last month, because BMO is a soccer facility first, and
right.
They're not going to jeopardize the soccer facility for football or for anything else for that matter, and they want to keep it grass. Now, at Wembley, they played an NFL game, the Cowboys and the Jaguars, and a few days later, they were playing a soccer game there.
Yeah.
And that soccer game was a disgrace because the field was just, the sod was just torn up to all hell because of what happened with the football game.
Right.
So, there's still a lot that has to happen there. They have to figure out the technology. They have to figure out the service. They have to figure out just transforming it to football. Can that happen? A lot has to happen. Now, will there be a sale to Maple Leaf Sports Entertainment? I'm told nothing is imminent, but it could happen in the new year. It's more than dotting I's and crossing T's here.
Mm-hmm.
There's some major things. What's not being talked about either is there has to be an increase in revenue streams. Because if you talk to Gord Norrie down the street at McMahon Stadium,
mm-hmm.
and if you talk to Mark Waitman, the president in Montreal, and if you talk to Dennis Skulski or David Braley in Vancouver, they'll still tell you this is a league where you have to sell tickets 2x2. You have to get butts in the seats in order for your business to succeed. That's all fine and dandy, except if your team is 4-14. What are you selling then? And so you have to increase the revenue streams from a corporate sponsorship standpoint, from a number of different areas to make sure these teams are breaking even at a reasonable season ticket base, and you're not all but solely relying on TV money and on ticket money. Because there are fair weather fans, you're talking about weather in general, you're talking about winning and losing. There's a lot that goes into this, so you need to increase the corporate dollars. The Buffalo Bills are not going to be in huge financial distress even after losing a complete home game because of that snowstorm. You eliminate two regular season games from a CFL team, the impact that has on the bottom line is significant, and in some markets, almost catastrophic.
Boy, oh boy. I hate to bring this up, but are you sitting on another revenue stream? I mean, do you know something? Because I'm pretty sure we've looked at this 8 ways to Sunday.
Well,
is there another one out there?
But, I mean, we just don't know yet, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what the social media, what the fantasy football, what the apps. I mean, this is the other thing, Rob. This is a league that forever has skewed to an older demographic.
Yep.
There aren't many young people in the 18 to 34 who are gravitating towards the Canadian Football League. That's the reality. The next commissioner has to. They have to make it a way for young people to think and believe it's cool to go to football games, that the CFL is an attractive brand. That absolutely hasn't happened in Toronto, and I dare say it hasn't happened in a lot of places. Look, I've been in Vancouver now for a couple of days. There's no Grey Cup fever here. This is not Calgary 09. This is not Edmonton 2010. It certainly is not Regina 2013. And there's a little bit of CFL fatigue here, and this is, you know, the country's number two market. So there's definitely, look, things have improved. There's no question.
Mm-hmm.
Things are definitely on a bit of an upswing, but there's a lot of growth that needs to still happen to make this a 365-day-a-year water cooler conversation league. On February 16th, more people in Calgary are going to be talking about the Flames' power play than the free agent signings the Stampeders made the day before. And until it becomes part of the everyday conversation, that's still going to be a big challenge for the CFL.
I am not going to ruin what you just said by asking more questions, because I think you've said it and hit it on the head. We'll ask you more questions later on in the week. Always good to talk to you,
pal. We got a lot of football left between now and Sunday. We'll talk some ball next over the next couple days.
And take good care of my friend Julio, too.
Oh, I definitely will. Saw him. I saw him today. He's pumped up.
I saw you two on TV a while ago.
Oh, there you go.
Hey, it's not like you're
I saw him earlier.
That's
he's doing
right.
great.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing this.